Hello and welcome to the NFL Players Podcast. I'm Aeneas Williams. And you won't believe the world that Cassius Marsh is going to take us in. Magic cards and the entire world of it, going all the way back to high school and the time he spent in a tiny store. And guess what? All that are listening, his high school teammates did not even know that he was playing this game. Let's listen in, because you're talking about a player whose father and brother played. And I'm so excited to share this podcast. Let's listen in. Cassius, man, I'm so excited doing this podcast because I love talking to people about their different passions. And we can really talk about a world that I can tell you up front, Cassius, I know very little about. Before I get there, though, my first question, how did you get the name Cassius?
My father actually named me after Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. He was a huge fan of, obviously, an extremely great man, and just loved the name Cassius. And so, yeah, he gave me that name. And I've actually, my son's also named Cassius. So.
Wow. So thanks for being with us. And you're in training camp. How's training camp started? What's the body feeling like? But y'all do it differently, man. There's no tour days, anything like that. I'm not hating on you, though. Yeah. I love it. But yeah. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's been great. We had our first day of practice today, and that was awesome to get back out there. And playing ball is always so much fun, and Steelers organization is amazing. So I'm just, you know, truly blessed to be here and be back out there with the fellas, you know, having fun playing ball. And but it was good. You know, body feels great. Had a great off season, so I feel strong and fast and healthy. And so definitely a good start, man. Happy to be back playing ball.
Well, thank you during this busy time of carving out a little time for us. Let's get started with your passion. Which would you rather have, a Super Bowl ring or a perfectly graded Alpha Black Lotus card?
Super Bowl ring 1,000 times out of 10.
You didn't hesitate. There's no.
I love the game of Magic. I really do. It's definitely my passion off the field. But to be a world champion would mean more to me than probably any other achievement outside of being a father. I played football my whole life. You know exactly how that feels. So, and my rookie year, I went to the Super Bowl and we lost last minute on the goal line versus the Patriots. So I've been very close, but there's nothing like it. And I've talked to guys who have, you know, won the Super Bowls and stuff. It's something that I truly, deeply want to achieve. So,
but this Alpha Black Lotus card, 1993, perfectly graded. $500,000?
Yeah, actually, the funny story about that is a good friend of mine, Post Malone's a good friend of mine. He's also into the game. He was bidding on that card, and he left to go to Costco because he thought the card was secured. He had set his like limit at 500K, and when he got back, it jumped up like 50K from where it was before. And he lost by like $6,000. Ended up selling for $506,000. So it's crazy. But actually, the day before that card sold, another PSA 10 perfectly graded one sold for $1 million. So although those cards are extremely valuable, and that would be a nice asset to have, and definitely a huge collectible for me, something I definitely want to have one day. I don't think anything could ever replace like a Super Bowl champion. Not even the ring. You know, the ring is cool, but the championship, to be a champion, would be pretty epic. So
what did it feel like to come so close?
Awful. Awful.
Because I lost the Super Bowl to guess who?
The Patriots. I'm Patriots. Sure. Man, and you know, it was crazy. I got put on IR. I wasn't able to play in the game either. So it was really, that year was really rough for me. I can remember it so vividly. I was standing on the sideline, and you know, we had the ball on the 2 or 3 yard line or whatever it was. And you know, I'm thinking, we got Marshawn Lynch. There's just no way, you know what I mean? We got 3 downs to get this ball in there. I've never seen anyone stop Marshawn from getting a yard or two, and I hadn't seen it up to that point. I'm dancing on the sideline. I'm talking about which finger I'm about to put the ring on and the whole deal, and we threw the pick, and I just, man, just the worst feeling in the locker room after and the party back at the hotel and just everything, man. It was so, I mean, obviously blessed to be able to go to Super Bowl, but it was just such a miserable feeling to go that far and be so, so close just to lose off of basically the last play of the game. So,
well, we're going to get on to your game cards. Let's do it. Are there any similarities in the world of pro football and the world of fantasy adventure games and collectibles?
I'd say that the competitive nature of the game of Magic, I think that there's some similarities, like especially in like highly competitive, like at GPs or during the World Tour, people are really, truly dialed and they're really good. They practice and they play over and over again and they play test for hours and hours to prepare for these tournaments. And so I think that the preparation is probably the same, but outside of that, obviously they're two different worlds, but I think the preparation for like your performance and the time that you have to put in and like the studying and stuff like that can, you know, draw some similarities.
Any comparison of building an NFL roster to building the Magic deck?
Yeah, maybe. I've never actually thought about that. That's a really good question. I mean, you definitely have to, when you're building a deck, every little piece is significant and plays a role. So yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question, actually.
So are you saying that you possibly could be a GM in the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could definitely pull that off, man. I mean, I don't know that, you know, all of my deck building experience would help that much, but I think I've got a pretty good eye for talent, you know. I would definitely need some tutelage from some GMs. I would definitely need to learn a lot in order to pull that off. But I think I could, you know, I could work myself to that position one day.
When did you get in this universe of Magic?
So I started off playing Pokemon when I was a kid, not even playing the game. I really never played when I was younger. I was just like collecting and playing the Game Boy games and just, you know, I was just a pretty nerdy little kid. You know, obviously my family was, you know, had NFL history. My dad played, my older brother also played, but, you know, I've always had that, you know, nerdy side to me. Started off with Pokemon, then I started playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And then when I was about 11 years old, I found Magic the Gathering. And that was pretty much it, man. I went to Friday Night Magic probably every single night, unless I was playing in Friday Night Lights, you know what I mean? Unless I had a football game, you know, I was at our local game store in Simi Valley where I grew up playing Magic and having a ball, man. The shop that I used to play in is, there was really nothing to it, but I would go and spend hours and hours and hours there just having fun and playing the game, man. It's such a fun game, so I'm grateful to have found it.
Which one gave you the greatest excitement when you were younger? Was it going to the card shop or playing under the Friday Night Lights?
Definitely football, man. I mean, I do love the game, and it is great to have a passion outside of football, but football, you know, just thinking about it kind of gives me chills, man. Football has provided me with so many things, you know, so many life lessons. I've learned so much from different people who I've had the chance to meet because of football, different experiences, you know, traveling around the country. And obviously the NFL has provided me with the money to be able to take care of my family and set myself up to, you know, be able to open my card shop that I have now and to be able to have these passions off the field. So I love the game of football and I'm forever grateful to the game of football. So
why are you still passionate about it today? I'm talking about the card game.
It's truly an incredibly good game. The depth of the game is just crazy. There's so many different interactions and there's so many different ways to win the game. It's hard to explain to, you know, somebody who's never really experienced it, but I would compare it to chess on steroids. You know what I mean? Chess is obviously such a good game and has been for centuries, but Magic has, you know, just this crazy creativity and there's the collectability of the cards and the value of the cards and the game being so good and there's so many different ways to play the game. And honestly, the community and the interactions with the people, and it is very, very similar to my experience with football. You know, I've met so many good people playing the game and I have a lot of good friends because of the fact that I play Magic the Gathering. Yeah, I mean, there's a million reasons why I'm so passionate about Magic the Gathering still.
So that card store growing up, you said it wasn't that big. Would you say that was kind of like your other locker room?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a group of guys who would be there almost every week and you wait for them to get there. And when they get there, like everybody's like welcoming them to, You know what I mean? Like, sit down, bro. Like, let's get a game in. It is very similar. It does have that same feel. And there is like a brotherhood within the community of Magic. And, you know, the one of the cool things about the game is the emphasis on community. You know what I mean? Like, so my second year in the league, I had about $20,000 worth of cards stolen from me. My girlfriend at the time, now my fiance, Devin, she took my car because her and a bunch of friends were going to go to the club and hang out together. And, you know, they needed a bigger car to drive. And I wanted her to be safe. It was a bigger car. So she drove my car to the club. I forgot that my backpack, not only my backpack with my Magic cards in it, but my backpack that had my iPad and like all my work stuff in it. So every car that had tint got broken into and they stole both my backpacks. And I was devastated, man. It wasn't just the money. I'd spent a lot of time building those decks. And, you know, it was a huge hit to me because, like, it takes real time to just find the cards and build the decks. And so I tweeted out something like, hey, I have my card stolen here, and I'll give you as many tickets you want to home games for the next, you know, whatever, if you just return my cards. And it went viral and a bunch of people covered it, like ESPN and GQ, and just like it went everywhere. And the outreach from the community was incredible, man. I had so many different people send cards to me at the facility. Wizards of the Coast came out, which is the company that created the game and owns the game. They came out and brought a huge box of booster boxes to me, and it was just incredible. So like the Magic the Gathering community is incredible and extremely supportive of the people who are a part of it. So
we got five colors and a magic color, Will. Which color would represent you as a player?
I'd say blue. It's super broken. I mean, I say broken as isn't like it's just like overpowered. Like you draw a bunch of cards with blue. You counter people's spells. Countering a spell means you cancel it. So you basically are just in a power position, and just like it's hard to explain. But the Magic players out there will most definitely understand where I'm coming from. My favorite color is blue, and I'd say my second favorite color is green. And green is like big stompy creatures and like overwhelming power and mana ramp and stuff like that. So, but blue most definitely would be number one for me.
So you said the game is like chess on steroids. When I think of chess, I think you have to be thinking about moves ahead of time, absolutely. Right? Have you been able to use this type of logic and thinking in your game as a pass rusher?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say that like I hadn't thought about those things prior to being a Magic player, but as a pass rusher, it is definitely a similar mindset where when you're rushing the passer, you know, you have to set up certain moves. You know, you rush outside, you know what I mean? You get a sack on them on the outside and got them really worried about that. And then you hit them with a spin move where you come back inside, or you hit them with power, or you know what I mean? You set certain things up throughout the game as you're rushing the passer. You know, you're thinking a couple of steps ahead of the own lineman. So it is similar in that sense for sure.
So what would be the equivalent in the game of watching film?
I would say play testing. So play testing is basically, in a competitive atmosphere, there's what's called a meta. And the meta is basically decks that are competitive in that format. So there's probably, at any time, there's 4 to 5 decks that are competitive enough at that time to win. So you have your deck that you're playing with, and you play test against those other decks with your friends in order to figure out like what works best, you know, how to adjust mid game, because each game you can take cards from your sideboard and add it into your deck. So I'd say definitely play testing would be your film watching or your practice preparation.
Tell me about your excitement of your grand open. Cash cards unlimited. What was it like? Westlake Village, California. How big is Westlake?
Westlake's a pretty big city. I think it's right outside of LA. It's like right past the valley. So it's like Woodland Hills, and then there's like little cities in between there, but Calabasas is next, and then like Agoura Hills, and then Westlake is basically right outside of Calabasas.
Grand opening versus getting drafted.
Definitely getting drafted. I mean, it was a dream, you know. Opening the card store was a dream of mine, and like it's something that I felt like would be great and would be a lot of fun and something for me to do when I got done playing. But, you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, when they ask you, what did you want to be when you grow up? My answer since I was like 6 or 7 years old was be an NFL player. Like I never anything else. And, you know, your teachers are always like, maybe you should, you know, write something else. You know, not often do people go to the NFL or whatever, but I no hesitation. I never listened to them. My mind was made up. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And so achieving that was amazing, and it was a great feeling. Regardless of what round I went, just to be able to make it to the NFL was just had always been a dream of mine. So,
what type of impact as a football player today did your dad and your brother having played in the NFL? What kind of impact did they have?
A huge impact. You know, you always look up to, you know, obviously your father and your older brother. You know, my dad was an incredible athlete, and he wasn't around as much when I was a kid, but the few times that he was around, I was able to, it was him teaching me how to lift or taking me on the field and putting me through ladder drills. And, you know, I always just wanted to make him proud. I always wanted to be like him and be like my older brother. And so, you know, just being able to just see them achieve, you know, going to NFL. And I remember vividly my brother getting drafted, being over at his mother's house and being with him when he got drafted by the Eagles. I just remember being like, it's almost my time. You know what I mean? He was 4 years older than me. And I think I had just enrolled at UCLA. And I was so heavily motivated by seeing it. Just felt so tangible to me. It was right there. So they definitely had a huge impact on me growing up.
So I would assume the teacher that said, hey, don't just write NFL player, I assume she didn't know about your father and your brother, I would think, right?
No, definitely not. Well, I think the teachers, when I was younger, my brother hadn't achieved it yet. But, you know, they definitely didn't know about my dad, that's for sure. So, but yeah, man, it's funny. I wonder what those teachers are doing now. You know, I'd love to have a conversation with them and just touch base. But I do, you know, I actually had this teacher when I was in middle school who completely supported that dream, and I'll never forget her. Her name's Mrs. Gerfin. I knew it, and she was like, yep, like, I believe it, Cash. It's like, you're going to do it. And, like, I just loved her so much, you know?
Has your dad's transition, how your dad transitioned out the game, your brother's transition out the game, has that helped you think about transitioning at some point?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, I think both my dad and my brother really struggled with the transition out of the NFL, as a lot of guys do. You know, you spend your whole life as a football player, and a lot of men identify themselves as a football player, like, that is who I am. And so, you know, when that's no longer a part of, you know, I mean, you're never not a football player, you know what I mean? Like, that never goes away. But when your career is no longer being a football player, you know, obviously a lot of guys struggle. So seeing them struggle to transition and the amount of time it took and the mental strain, emotional strain I watched them go through definitely made me think about it and make me want to be more prepared for that transition, you know, figure out what I wanted to do while I was in the NFL instead of waiting until I was done. And I had a lot of vets who really reinforced, you know, that message, always pushed me to be more. Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill had a huge impact on me in my first 4 years in the league. You know, they always made me think about life after ball, even though, you know, in my head, I was going to play forever and I was going to be the best that ever was. And, you know, you couldn't tell me anything, but they always made me think about it. And I'm very grateful to them for that.
As we transition, have you taken advantage of any of the NFL programs, player development programs? Have you taken advantage of any of those resources to also help you prepare?
I have just really started to. I think that starting my business may really open my eyes to it. There's so many resources provided by the NFL that guys really don't tap into. And the NFL has been and the PA has been extremely supportive of my business and helping me to get the word out and helping me to grow it. They are working on getting me into the legacy program, the business legacy program. And I'm trying to do as much as I can and take advantage of all the different programs. So Darrell Young has been helping me with all that stuff. He's been amazing. He's a new guy here in Pittsburgh, and he's been extremely supportive and been helping me guide me through this process and helping me find which ways I can take advantage of all the things that the NFLPA offers. So
what would Cassius tell his rookie self today?
I would say be patient, accept criticism, and just enjoy the journey and embrace the process, and don't try and get there too fast. That's what I would say. Don't be too eager, and be grateful. Be grateful for everything, because it's such a blessing, and I've seen so many guys come and go and let ego get in the way of their career. If I could talk to myself, I would definitely try and humble myself and definitely tell myself to put my ego to the side and just work.
Cassius, when I asked you that question, you may not realize this. It was like you went into a solemn moment. No, I'm serious. I don't know if you caught that. It was literally like you had spent some time thinking about this. Tell me about that.
Well, I think that early on in my career, you know, I was so, you know, I let my ego get in the way of, you know, my growth and my relationships with coaches and different organizations. I think that that is the reason why I haven't had much opportunity in this league, you know, as a pass rusher. And, you know, there's nobody to blame for that but me. I definitely have done a ton of self-reflection on, you know, my career. I mean, I'm starting year 8 now.
Right.
So, you know, I've got a little brother too. And so I think about that often, because I want to make sure that, you know, he has all the knowledge that he needs so that he doesn't make the same mistakes that I do or I did. So I've definitely spent a lot of time thinking about those things and how I could have done better early on in my career to set myself up to stay with the same team and be one of those guys that's 10 years with the same team and that stability and staying with the same organization and, you know, really thriving in the league. So I'm grateful for my journey in the NFL. It's taught me so much, but I'm a loyal dude. You know what I mean? I would have loved to stay with one team, but honestly, I'm still very grateful because I'm here in Pittsburgh now and it's such an amazing organization. I'm very grateful to be a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And you're in your 8th season. You know the number 8 represents new beginnings, right?
It does. It does. So, you know, who knows? You know, maybe I'll spend the rest of my career here and, you know, hopefully we get ourselves a Super Bowl ring and I can become a world champion as a part of one of the best organizations in the NFL. So
did someone help you come to the self-awareness that you just described to me, or just maturation on your own?
You know, I've had conversation, you know, everybody in my life, I keep a very small circle. You know, I'm all about good energy and keeping toxic energy out of my life. So the people who are around me, my mother, my fiance, my friends, they make me want to be better. I think becoming a father, you do a lot of self-reflection, you know, because, sorry, I get emotional. I think about my son. He made me want to be better. So,
yeah. And I appreciate the realness to this conversation, Cassius. I really do. As we close it out, when you go on an NFL team or even in high school, could you identify the guys who were card players like in the Magic game? Could you identify them?
No, honestly, no way, because it's crazy. You know, I don't think anybody would have ever guessed in high school that I was playing Magic. None of my friends had any idea that, like,
they didn't know.
No, they had no clue. I was just disappearing on Friday nights. They had no idea. And I never said anything to them because I was like, I never thought in a million years they'd have any interest in it. Nobody who I'd ever talked to in college had played. And, you know, there's been a couple of guys in the NFL that have played around with it, but I would never be able to, like, just look at a person and be like, oh yeah, he's for sure like a Magic the Gathering player. You know, Doug Baldwin plays Magic the Gathering. But there's nothing about him that, you know, would make,
right.
You know, there's nothing about him. I mean, obviously extremely intelligent person. Intelligence is definitely required to play the game, but yeah, no, it's a mystery, man. The athletes, there's a lot of guys who are actually starting to pop up and show interest in, you know, trading cards and collectibles. And there's been a couple of other guys who have shown interest in playing the game of Magic. So, you know, one of my goals is to spread the game to everybody, because typically Magic the Gathering players are pretty nerdy guys. You know, the dudes who didn't really make it on the sports teams and weren't as athletic or popular. And, you know, although those guys are all amazing and just super cool people, very humble people to be around, you know, I want to spread the game to the masses. You know, I think it's a wonderful game, and I think there's a lot to learn and a lot to gain from being a part of the Magic community. So,
and from what I understand, as we close out, Cash, you're doing some anti-bullying work.
Yeah, so my message through the game of Magic is, like I was saying, typically these guys are probably the kids who are getting bullied, you know. Prior to the last couple of years where this stuff is all becoming popular, a lot of those guys get picked on. And so that's why I want to spread the game and spread this community and show people, you know, how great it is, so that those people don't have to go through those types of experiences, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to know how cool it is, and I want those type of people who were doing the bullying to realize that they were bullying someone who now has a $100,000 Black Lotus in their safe and is able to pay for, you know, their child's college tuition with, you know, one card that they had collected as a child. I know guys who have paid for houses, you know, with Magic cards. Wow. You know, it's really incredible, you know, what the collectibles world has been able to accomplish up to this point. And so it's definitely important for me to, you know, protect that community and make people embrace it, you know, because a lot of people hide it and are ashamed of it. I want people to be able to be proud of it. So
I appreciate the work that you're doing in that space. More of us have this opportunity because in our world, right, we all looked up to, right?
Yes.
And then now taking that position, particularly with so much bullying going on. So I appreciate you doing that. Close out. We have some quick hits. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready with that.
Favorite NFL city to live in and why?
Well, I found my fiance in Washington.
Okay.
And it's definitely an extremely beautiful place to live. And I didn't appreciate it while I was there. So I'll go with Washington only because I haven't spent enough time in Pittsburgh to really say.
Favorite offensive tackle to go up against?
The worst ones. I don't know. I don't even remember their names.
Favorite quarterback to sack?
Russell Wilson was my favorite to sack because obviously I played with the guy for so long and he's extremely elusive, hard to get to. So him, and then I was able to sack Lamar Jackson as well. And he's probably the most elusive guy in the league. So those two definitely.
If you wasn't a football player or a card shop owner, what would you be?
I'm very into fitness, so maybe something in that space. And I'm also really interested in real estate. My mom has been an escrow officer for like almost 20 years. So I probably would have got into real estate and been like a trainer on the side or something like that.
All right. Real estate trainer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Designer Richard Garfield.
Yes, Richard Garfield.
Richard Garfield. 1993, did you know his great-grandfather was the 20th president of the United States? James A. Garfield. How about that?
Wow, I had no clue. That's nuts.
Think about that, man. So were you, these legacies that are built, man, for this gentleman to create this game and then have this legacy in his life. So this has been awesome, man. I just wanted to give you some things that I do my homework because I found it very interesting.
That is a great fact. I'm going to tell all my friends that. That's awesome. Richard Garfield. Wow, that's crazy. That's wild.
Cassius, this has been fantastic, man. Thank you for carving out time. You're in training camp, man. I don't know if I was in training camp if I would have done a podcast like this. So thank you so much, man. The best is yet to come, Cassius.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate the time and the questions, man. It was a wonderful conversation, brother. I really appreciate it.
To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.